Can we have these lights off on the stage again? Thanks, Tom. Tom is, he's a multitasker today. Do you know, he was here, set up, everything ready. He was twiddling his thumbs by 10:05. Now that deserves a round of applause because he's been busy this morning. He's amazing. So thank you, Tom, for all that you do for us. Apologies, I was not due to speak last week because Ruth Bourne was coming, but she messaged me a couple of days before to say I'm not very well. So she couldn't come, so I said, well, I'll switch. I was due to preach this week, and so I said, I'll switch with you. You come this week. She messaged me again a couple of days ago to say, still not well, so she's not able to be with us. So you got me again. I'm sorry about that. It wasn't the plan, but it's just the way it works out. But I do want to talk about this, because as I was praying about it, didn't have a lot of time to prepare. I just had a real sense. I thought I was going to talk about prayer this morning, but I really had a sense that God wanted me to talk about the power of testimony. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, the power of testimony. And I don't know whether you feel that in church it's unspiritual to measure success. Talk to your neighbor. Tell them what you think. Is it unspiritual to talk about success in church? Go on, have a word with your neighbor. Tell them what you think. Okay, so I wonder what you said. Who thinks it's unspiritual to talk about success in church? Oh, good. Well, that's good. Good. No, but nobody. But I think the key question is really, how do we measure success? What does success look like? What does it look like to say, you know, Mariners is a successful church? Well, I don't think it's measured by the number of programs. There's a lot going on at Mariners. Hey, so what? It's not measured by our publications or social media presence. It's not measured by the number of postcards we produce, although we are prolific with our postcards, as you know. And it's not measured by our social media presence. We try to be out there on Instagram and Facebook and through MailChimp, through our bulletins. But it's not measured by that. It's not measured by our financial health, although, praise God, our finances are healthy. Praise God. You know, we really believe that God pays for what he orders. And whilst we had a bit of a blip at the end of last year, we never went into the red. I want to tell you that. We had to take some sort of fairly critical decisions, but we never went into the red. We kept in the black, and our finances have continued to improve this year. But as a church, our success is not measured by financial health. This is sounds something weird all of a sudden. Oh, it's Tom playing with the controls. Okay, we're commanded to bear... This is sounding really weird. Lasting fruit. We're commanded to bear lasting fruit. In John 15, Jesus commands us to bear fruit that will last, right? How? Remain in him. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit, fruit that will last. It's John 15. We want to bear fruit, don't we? We want to be fruitful. That might be the measure of our success. How fruitful are we as a church, as a group of people? And what does that fruit look like? Well, I think, you know, it isn't about programs. It isn't really ultimately about bums on seats. But I think it's really about seeing lasting fruit, fruit that will last, that will endure. Is the lost being saved? Now, we go on about this a lot here, but it's important. Because Jesus said to the Pharisee Nicodemus in John 3, who was supposed to know what a relationship with God looked like, in order to see or enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, same thing, Matthew and Luke use different phrases depending on the audience they were writing to. But in order to see or enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. You must be born again. Until spiritually you are brought alive by the Holy Spirit coming into your life and bringing you alive, communing with your spirit, you are not fully alive. You've got to be born again. So when we talk about the lost being saved, people who are lost are away from God. They don't know about God in their life. They're lost. Perhaps they then have a growing awareness or conviction of the sin, the wrongdoing in their life, the rebellion against God in their life, and they come to him. And to use the words of Revelation 3:20, they open the door of their life and they welcome him in. And he comes in to live in them by his spirit. And that is when the lost are saved. Now they're saved. Now they're back in relationship with God. Now they're no longer orphans, but they're sons and daughters of the Most High God, our Heavenly Father. So, you know, that is lasting fruit. When I gave my life, when I opened the door of my life to Jesus 3 days after my 10th birthday, that was lasting fruit. That can never be taken away from me. Eternity was secured in my heart at the age of 10 years and 3 days. Can never be taken away. The sick are healed, the oppressed are freed. Again, this is lasting fruit, not eternal fruit, but certainly when we experience healing in our bodies, when we get free of oppression and torment from perhaps traumas that happened to us in the past, that is lasting fruit because it means that we live into freedom. And God wants us to live into freedom. He wants us to live into freedom. So we really stress these things. And for me, this is what lasting fruit looks like. Okay? I'm not really interested in preaching messages that, you know, bring you comfort. Because although the Holy Spirit is a comforter, he also can make us uncomfortable. Because we need challenge to change and to move forward in our Christian lives. But I think this is what lasting fruit is. Fruit that will last, that will endure. Two good indicators for church of success, I think, are these things here. The first is a growing church family. Now, I know I just said it's not about bums on seats. It isn't. But God's good news attracts people. If you look at Jesus throughout the Gospels, he could barely get time to himself or with his disciples because people came after him. Why? Because his message of good news, his proclamation, as well as his demonstration of that good news, was extremely attractive. Ordinary people understood Jesus. They didn't understand the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, but they did understand Jesus because he presented good news in an accessible way. But not only did he proclaim it, he demonstrated it. So he would proclaim good news of sickness to the poor and of healing of sickness. And then he would demonstrate it. So blind Bartimaeus, what did he become after he got healed? Presumably they didn't call him blind Bartimaeus anymore. You see, Bartimaeus says, yeah, this really is good news. Now I can see. Jesus was incredibly attractive to people. He had trouble getting away from the crowds. God's good news attracts people. I think if we are living this good news message, we will attract people as a church. Word will get out. God is doing something in that place. God is at work. The other thing is the growing number of GNS. What's GNS? Good news stories. You're so well trained. Good news stories. Some would call them testimonies. We don't use that word here because not everybody knows what a testimony is. But good news stories, stories of God at work. And we go after these relentlessly. And I think if you were to press me, this is our best measure of success because it's God at work. They are events where if God didn't show up, there'd be nothing to talk about. Okay? I think that's the biggest indicator. So here we are. Why we record and share good news stories? Because you know we do, right? We really record, we share the good news. We share them through the bulletin. We share them through Facebook. We share them from the front of church. We share them by any means that we can. We get them out there. Here are 8 reasons why we do that, okay? The first is that it reminds us of what only God can do. I love the fact that we're talking about good news stories because it keeps us humble. You see, we're talking about the things that only God can do. Yeah, we can put on an alpha course. We can run galley. We can all do that in our own human strength. And we could, you know, we're in danger of patting ourselves on the back saying, aren't we doing a good job? Aren't we running a good ministry? But actually, when it comes to this stuff, if God didn't show up, we'd have nothing to talk about. It keeps us humble and reminds us, actually, that it's the power of God that really makes the difference when he invades people's lives and does extraordinary things. It reminds us of what only God can do. And that's the thing I want us to celebrate. God commands us to remember and tell others. That's a scriptural command, to remember his good deeds, his good works, and to tell others. Here's Psalm 78. My people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known. Stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Here's the command, Psalm 78. I could have chosen a number of scriptures, but Psalm 78 is good. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. Why wouldn't we? When we're told that's what we should do, we should pass on the stories of God's activity so the next generation might know them. You know, I want my daughters to know the power of God at work in this faith community so that they carry on with the baton. I pray that my ceiling will be their floor. In other words, I go this far, and that's where they begin, and they go higher. So the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. Wouldn't it be great if we had a legacy of 100 years at Mariners? That in 100 years, the vicar of Mariners Church is still standing here, if Jesus hasn't come again. They're still talking about good news stories, saying, do you know what happened in 2018, 100 years ago? Listen to this. And they're still reading out the good news stories from 100 years ago, saying God has been at work in this place for over 100 years. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. That's pretty clear, isn't it? You don't need me to exposit that. That's pretty clear what God is telling us to do in that psalm there. When we forget what God has done, our courage fades, our faith shrinks, and the possibilities diminish. True story. When we forget, when we fail to remember, when we think, yeah, that was yesterday, that was great, but I've moved on. The warriors of Ephraim, same psalm, the warriors of Ephraim, so Israeli soldiers, they were armed with bows, so they were armed for battle. They turned their backs and fled on the day of battle. They forgot what God had done, the great wonders he had shown them. And fear filled them. Courage left them because they forgot the goodness of God, his mighty wonders. Friends, on my watch, I don't want us to forget what God is doing among us. Number three, it raises faith. When we hear the good news stories, it can really raise our faith and encourage us to think, it happened for her, it could happen for me. It could happen for me. Do you know what number four is? Go on, have a guess. It keeps us encouraged. Hannah got that one right. It keeps us encouraged. It does encourage us. It reminds us that God, we're not worshiping a God of history. We're worshiping a God who's imminent, who is at work today in our midst. That excites me. I get up on a Sunday morning excited to come to church because I'm thinking, I wonder how many good news stories we'll have out of Sunday. You know, when people start sharing their stories. And it gives God the glory. And that's what we want to do. That's what we need to do. You see, the danger is, and this is my biggest fear, is when we fail to remember or share the stories, it's like we are withholding the glory or keeping it to ourselves. It's almost like we are keeping the credit for ourselves. I think that's really dangerous. I think God will just withdraw. I think we need to attribute to God the works of God, his mighty wonders. And when we do, my expectation is that he will keep on doing them because we give him the glory for the stories. Number six, they bring victory over the enemy. They overcame him, Revelation tells us, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. I love this verse. I think every time we share good news stories, the devil in our midst is getting smaller. You know, he's being driven out in our corporate life and our personal lives. That the enemy, his hold on us as a faith community or as individuals, is being pushed out. because we're sharing the stories of God's activity amongst us. And we're saying, there's another defeat for the enemy. We know the battle is won, but there are these skirmishes going on still. Satan knows where he's going, but he wants to take as many people down with him as he can. And we're saying, listen, Satan, listen to these victories of God amongst his people. We triumph over the enemy. Number 7, they have a prophetic dimension. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, the stories of God's activity, the testimony of Jesus, the stories of his activity have a prophetic dimension. They have a prophetic dimension. As we share the story, it's almost like prophesying. It's almost like saying when the person comes and shares about their back being healed, that actually God is going to heal backs in the room because there's a prophetic dimension to the sharing of the testimony. You'll find very often at Mariners, if a testimony is shared and somebody stands up and says, well, my back has been healed, it's incredible, and they share the story, we'll usually say, if your back is injured, come and get prayer. Because our expectation is that that miracle will be replicated in the room. That's our expectation. Because the testimony of Jesus, his work, is prophetic in nature. And finally, they act like precedents. You see, the Hebrew words, I've said this before. My job is just to remind you of things. I'm not teaching you anything. I'm just reminding you of everything you already know. But it's good to be reminded, isn't it? Because sometimes we can take our foot off the gas and we need to get our foot on the gas. The Hebrew word is ud, and it means to repeat and do again. The Hebrew word for testimony is ud, which means to repeat, do again. And again, it's linked to this idea of the testimony being prophetic in nature. That when we share the testimony, God will often ride in on the back of the testimony and repeat the miracle. That's what happens. He'll ride in on the back of the testimony where he has been given glory and repeat the miracle in the room. I love that. What has legally happened before can happen again. In other words, a precedent, just looking back to my legal days, a precedent, you would pray in aid a precedent. You would say, legally, this has happened before. This has been upheld before. Therefore, it applies in this situation also. It's happened before. It's been legally upheld. Therefore, it should apply in this circumstance as well. We pray in aid. So, good testimonies are like precedents. This has happened before. It's happened for Dave, say. Therefore, why wouldn't God repeat that miracle for Darren? That's how it works. It's a precedent. You know, we're all God's children in the room, all of those who have accepted Jesus into our lives. What he would do for his son Dave, he would do for his son Darren. We know that because God is faithful, he's consistent. 8 is the new 5. I'm done with 5. There's 8 points about good news stories. 8 is the new 5. Don't worry, you're not going to get 8 points every week. But 8 is the new 5. So for those of you who are visitors, I've done a series of talks recently with the number 5 points. But today it's 8. And look, what if we don't get breakthrough? This is the big question. And, you know, this question here, it's a sensitive one, really. There are so many churches who shy away from praying for the sick because they're fearful that they won't get healed. The enemy loves that. The enemy loves that. We do live with the now and the not yet. We live between Christ's first coming and his second coming. After his second coming, we will have the fullness of God's kingdom. And there will be no more sickness or pain or suffering or tears. For the old order will have passed away. We're told that in Revelation. We know how the story ends. So but we're living between the re-inauguration of the kingdom in Jesus' time and ministry, coming of the Spirit at Pentecost. We're living between that time and when he comes again. So we live with the now and the not yet. John Wimber famously said, when we prayed for no one, no one got healed. When we prayed for many, many got healed. I'm up for a bit of that. You know, when we pray for many, many got healed. At Mariners, we choose to emphasize the now rather than the not yet. And you see so many churches retreat to the not yet. They say, we'll hide behind the not yet. obviously it's not going to happen because we live in the now and the not yet, and they tend to emphasize the not yet. I don't want to emphasize the not yet. I want to emphasize the now, because we don't know what the limits are. You see, in Isaiah 9, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. There's no end to the increase. So I'm standing here in 2018 thinking, what will we be experiencing in 2019, 2020, 2021? Because there's no end to the increase of his government and peace. I love that. That's a great prophecy. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. We don't know what the limits are. We don't know where our ceiling is. What we do know is that dead people are being raised in all parts of the world. Increasingly, I'm hearing stories in Europe and North America of dead people being raised, as well as the sick being healed and the lost being saved. So we just don't know what the limits are, and we'll go after it. But look, what if we don't get our breakthrough? This is really important, pastorally. Nobody's a project. Nobody should be a project. It's not about numbers at the end of the day. It's about people. It's about looking after our people and having pastoral sensitivity. So we want to love and encourage people who are really going through it, who are waiting for their breakthrough. Perhaps have been waiting for a long time for their breakthrough. It still hasn't come. And we want to stand with you. We want to love you. We want to encourage you. We want to provide practical support. What is it you need from your church family? How can we support you? Do you need help with your shopping? You know, financially, are you struggling? How can we help you? We want to stand alongside you. And we'll, if you'll let us, we'll keep praying for you. And I long since made a covenant with God that I would pray for people if they let me until they're healed or they go to glory or Jesus comes again, which covers all the bases. Okay, so you know, if you'll let me, I'll pray for you until you're healed, Jesus comes again, or you go to heaven. And I think that covers every situation. 2017 was our best year ever, with 225 good news stories. It's just a number, but it was an indication of the extent to which God was at work in the family of faith here. Good news stories each month, on average, if we're to exceed that number, because, you know, there's no end to the increase, remember? How many do we need? 19 a month. Good news stories needed by the end of July? 133. It's the 1st of July. We've got a month to get to 133. Where are we up to? This is the one you've been waiting for. How many are we up to? 127. We only need 6 for this month, but what I'm saying is we're ahead of the curve. In terms of the good news stories that we're recording and we're celebrating and giving glory to God for, we're ahead of the curve. It's exciting. What God is doing in our midst. Here are a few good news stories, and some I'm going to read. I think some people are going to come and share. I think Joanna's going to come and share. Marie is going to come and share. So come on up, ladies, while I find... The first one, Alpha, New Life. So last Thursday, 10 days ago, three people welcomed Jesus into their life for the first time. Three people. Isn't that amazing? So good. And then on the away day, another person did that too. Was that for me? Thank you very much. Is it gin? Or is it just water? So four people on the present Alpha course have welcomed Jesus into their life. So their eternal future is changed forever. And that is the greatest miracle of all. We won't lose sight of that. That is the greatest miracle of all. And we celebrate with them, and they begin their discipleship journey. You know, many of us are on that discipleship journey, and we stand alongside them and help them. There was Brad, new job. Let me just find this one. He's been working in the IT department of a clothing company for a year. It's not been an easy year. He's been traveling to work in London from Gloucester four or five days a week, taking about 7 hours round trip each day. Crazy. In December, his firm were taken over, which presented new challenges that sometimes come with a new management team. The last straw was when his new boss told him that he would need to come to London 5 days a week until further notice, rather than just most days. Brad spoke to his wife, Stacey. They agreed that the best course of action was to resign with no other job to go to. Yet within a few days, and after much prayer, he secured a new job with another company without even an interview. The new company has consultants all over the globe and are used to people working remotely, and this means that Brad can now work from home. It allows him to be home on most days, and when he's required to go to the head office in Surrey, he's able to claim for his mileage and subsistence while he's away from home. He's also been released from his 3-month notice period and begins his new job tomorrow. Isn't that amazing? Praise God for that. So, Joanna, look, here's Joanna. Pretty in pink. Amazing. Lovely dress. Two good news stories about lost things and about her experience at the away day last week.
Oh, I'll start with the lost things one. I attend the Spot On group, which is basically, it stands for the Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind Life group, which Rob and Jenny Kingston are running. And in one of our sessions, Jenny encouraged us to pray for lost things. And I will always remember it. She went out of the room, came back with her golden chain that she lost, I believe, more than 20 years ago. So she put it on the floor, and I looked at that chain, and she said, well, just try and think about things you have lost. And I was thinking, I'm actually not losing things, but Liam always does. But in this case, it was something that actually, well, his van got broken into more than 7 months ago now, and his wallet and other possessions got stolen. And in quite a miraculous way, 3 months from the event happening, the burglars left his wallet on a person's fence in our neighborhood, actually. So, well, that person was actually Liam's auntie's mother. And the wallet got returned to us, and it had all of his electrical cards in, which we were quite happy about, because it's quite, well, in the meantime, he managed to apply for them again, but it's quite a long process to get them back. The only thing missing from his wallet was his driving license, and it was the thing I was thinking about actually during the session, but not in a powerful way or anything. I was just thinking, oh, his driving license is still missing. Like the next day, I was working from home because I had an operation in my mouth, and I just need to work from home then. And it was around 3 p.m. and I was working, and suddenly I heard this knock on the door, and I was thinking, well, I hate answering the door when I'm working because I'm thinking it's just someone coming to sell me stuff. But I did anyway, so I went to the door and I opened the door, and it was this nice gentleman with walking his dog. And I was just like, hello. So he's like, hello. He said, I walked my dog today, and he said, on the floor I found this license. And he said, I know it's dirty, but I cleaned it, and I believe it belongs to you. And I was like, oh my God. I said, yes, it does, actually. And I just knew God was at work here. This gentleman had like this two big golden chains on his neck with like two big crosses. So I praise the Lord. It was missing at that point for more than 6 months.
Wow. Amazing.
Yes, and that was like the next day from when we, yes. So, yeah. I was shocked, yeah.
Well, let Marie speak next, and then you can do your next one. So, Marie, COPD, which is, for those of you who know, is a lung condition that affects your breathing and can really hinder your breathing. So Marie had test results last year, and this week she went for some fresh test results. Tell us how that went for you, Marie.
So, the nurse that I see, I've been seeing her for about 3 years now, and we've got a really good rapport, so we have a laugh and everything, like I do with most people. Anyway, I went in and she said, oh, she said, I've got a really bad knee. And I said, oh, why? What have you done? She said, well, it ruptured at the back. She said, I've got my walking sticks in the car. She said, but it's killing me. And I said, well, after I've done my, my tests, I didn't think what it was called now, after I'd done my test, I said, I'll pray for you. I said, because, you know, God can heal. And anyway, for a long time I've been saying, well, God's going to heal my lungs. Stella told me ages ago, prophetically, that God has given me new lungs. So I've been walking in that and believing it and thinking, okay, Lord, I'm going to have these lungs then. You know, I've got asthma, apparently, and I've got COPD, which means chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. There's no cure, I think, so they say. Anyway. The results, okay, last year, because you do this peak flow thing, so you have to blow through these tubes, okay? So last year, the one measurement was 46%, this year it's 89%. Another bit was 80, and that's gone up to 87. Another bit, 32, but it's now 62. It's just amazing. Another bit is worse, 18. That's now 38. Come on, Lord. And another bit was 16, and it's now 28. And when she was reading these out to me, she was like saying, 89, 87. Wow. And I was going, is it good? Tell me what's happening. And she told me, I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I said, see, I told you God was going to heal me. And then she, sorry. And then she said, no, it's me. It's me, I've been doing it. And I said, yeah, right. Because you've been hanging around me for the last year, haven't you? Sorting me out. I said, in your dreams, lady. I said, this is all about Jesus. I said, he's amazing and he's doing this, not you. Anyway, afterwards, after we'd done everything and then she'd taken about a gallon of blood, like they do, I said to her, well, let's pray for your knees then. And I told her that Jesus loved her. And I said, you know, you're his child. And, you know, I've been invited to church, whether she will, I don't know. I didn't have a lot of time. So I said to her, would you like me to pray for your knees then? No, I said, would you like me to pray for your knees? She said, oh, well, they both hurt, actually. I said, well, should I do both of them then? She said, well, if he can do that for you, then yes, please.
That's so good. Thank you, Marie. That's so good. That's amazing. It's amazing results. Yeah. Joanna, come and tell us your other experience of the Alpha Dareway last week.
All right. We all went to the Oakle House. And I don't know, for those of you who've been there, the surroundings are just incredible. So in the morning, I was just admiring the nature and all of God's creation, really, and just like setting my mind and, yeah, up for the day. Later on in the day, and it was actually before the third film has even finished, I started feeling like really warm and quite emotional. But there weren't emotions that I have felt before. And as I was writing my testimony yesterday, I was thinking about it, and it's quite hard not to be able to describe it in words, because I do, yeah, I can speak four languages, and I was thinking, surely I must find, like, a word that sums it up, but I can't, so I will just try to use, like, a metaphor to describe what I was feeling. But it was like this little spring forming inside of me that came out in just, like, indescribable, like in tears of just this peace, and I felt like a true belonging to God, and yeah, I was just basically I was emotional. I was crying, and as the leaders approached us and were praying again, the same emotions. But then, what amplified almost emotions for me even quite a bit were when you guys were playing in tongues, and I couldn't explain it, and I'm still puzzled by that, but it was just such a powerful feeling that, yeah, I mean, even now that I think about it, like, I'm trembling, because it was quite, for me, it was something so strong. And I realized there and then that the Holy Spirit did something inside of me what no other words of wisdom did before, what no hard work from my side could achieve, what could ever achieve, and actually what no love from another person was able to do. And that is just I've knowing my place, knowing who I belong to, and I belong to God, and I can say now that I understand that me here on earth, I think it's a temporary thing, and I know where I'm going now, and I'm quite blessed, and thank you for facilitating that encounter for me, because it was it was miraculous for me, so thank you.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you. Two more quick ones, then we'll wrap it up. This is a lady in November of last year. She came on the away day for the first time, November 17. On the Thursday before at Alpha, the subject had been healing and some words of knowledge were given. And she knew that three of the words were for her, but she didn't admit it. So she confessed to her friend in the car on the way home. And then she came to the away day on the Saturday, 2 days later. And she rather sheepishly, now we don't have confession here, we're not that kind of church, but she rather sheepishly confessed to me that she hadn't owned up to the fact that some of those words were for her. But one of them was for a hip. So she agreed that we should pray for her hip that day. Her hip was in a lot of pain. It had been deteriorating for 12 months. And it was uncomfortable in bed at night. So she agreed to be prayed for. And she admitted later that she had little hope that anything would happen, but she was happy to go along with it if it made the prayers feel better. As she was prayed for, she felt warmth in her hip, but said she would only really know if it was better after she'd walked on it any distance and slept on it. Following Thursday, 5 days later, she said her hip had been 100% pain-free since the prayer she received. She confirmed that this was still the case a week later at the final session of Alpha. On the away day, just last weekend, she said she remained pain-free. This is several months on now, several months. The experience with her hip had caused her to come on the current Alpha course, her second, as there must be something in it. She added that she could tell who the Christians were in the room as there was something different about them. Her words, not mine. Isn't that amazing? God is at work in that lady there. And then finally, just one more from the recent Alpha. Thursday evening, a couple of Thursday evenings ago, a lady in one of the groups, a guest, responded to a word about left shoulder. She'd been in pain with it since January. Here we are in June. We were in June. When it was pulled by a grandchild when she was swimming in a pool in Dubai. We can't make this up, can you? She was prayed for. She was unsure whether anything happened then and there, but at bedtime she said she felt something physical from her shoulder to her fingertips. All the pain had gone by the morning. She said she has since been waiting for the pain to return, but it hasn't. And it was still pain-free at Alpha over a week later. So these are the stories that we choose to record and celebrate. God at work. Let's stand, shall we? Father, we sang that you are good. You are good. We love what you're doing. We thank you for what you're doing amongst us. And our heart cry is more. We just want more of your goodness, more of your incredible power to invade our weaknesses and our frailties, to strengthen us and to bring us freedom. Father, we cry out to you for strengthening and for freedom. Thank you that through your Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead after 3 days in a stone-cold tomb in Palestine, that same Spirit lives in us. And we pray, Father, you know where we need breakthrough, whether it's employment, a new job, whether it's with our finances, whether it's recovery of lost things, whether it's physical healing. Father, you know what our need is. And let's just pause a minute, just a moment for you to do business with God and to cry out to God. What is it you need from him? What is your heart's desire today? Maybe you've already heard a testimony along those lines. There's a precedent there for you to claim your miracle now. Just ask him. We're going to end messily today. There won't be a neat end to the service. But I want to say, John and Sue are leading the prayer ministry team. If you could come up with your team. If you want prayer, because you look, these are the testimonies we've had. We've had physical healing, shoulder, hip. We've had a fresh Holy Spirit encounter that brought peace, assurance. Just a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps that's what you need. We've heard about people being born again. Perhaps you haven't welcomed Jesus into your life and you know you need to do that. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Maybe it's employment. We heard about Brad's job starting tomorrow. Maybe you need an employment breakthrough. If any of these testimonies you can relate to or that's where you need breakthrough, I want to encourage you to come forward and to pray with a member of the prayer ministry team. They'd love to pray with you in confidence. They'd love to stand with you for your breakthrough. So prayer ministry is available to my right, your left. Coffee is available at the back. Baptisms are available at 3 o'clock onwards at Oakle House. And bring your picnics, bring your blankets, bring your swimwear. It's going to be a great afternoon. But Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the good news stories we've been able to share. We pray for many more. Thank you for your goodness. We love you. We worship you. We pray continue to do great things amongst us. Continue to bring us into greater freedom and joy, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and I look forward to seeing you soon.